Thank you, Kelly. Kelly and Donna were people that the Lord brought to us in encountering. We say things like it's a God thing. That is totally true. And our mission trip was really successful because of them. They work with college age young people, and just excited about it. Some of you that are graduating, maybe your children, encourage them to do an internship there. They will not regret it. Bobby Moon's niece went over there, and I think she had a great time. So it is something that God can use to open up opportunities. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity we have today to look into your word. Lord, thank you for a wonderful Easter service last week in which we were so encouraged to be reminded again that you have risen from the dead and nothing is the same. And as we move forward, as we look to opportunities that you will give to us to minister, would you, Lord, expand our minds and our hearts so that we may see greater, greater opportunities for the gospel message. Would you speak to our hearts now as we finish up with 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you already heard my story of how my family was a refugee family from China, fleeing the communists. But I want to tell you what a difference it made for me. So here we are in Hong Kong. We're poor as dirt. I don't remember eating anything other than white rice, with one exception of a little piece of meat. I remember my father tried to entice me to eat food. And we had all, you know, soy sauce, and that's about it. That's pretty poor. But I didn't know I was poor. I was a little kid. And I was reminded of this because this week we had a chance to see our granddaughters, and my oldest granddaughter is 6, almost 7. I remember blurting out, "Wow, she's 7. That's when I came to America." And then the flood of memories came back to me on the trip and also being in Hong Kong. So our family had 10 people, 7 children, my dad and my mom and my grandmother. My dad was really sick. He couldn't work for 7 years. So that makes things even worse. And there's not much social welfare in Hong Kong at the time. We were just really, really poor. But for some reason, I didn't know all about it, but my parents encountered missionaries from America. And they ended up giving their lives to Jesus Christ. And then later on, these missionaries must have done something. I was only 6 years old, 7 years old at the latest there. So I don't know what they did, but I know that we got on an airplane. And the 9 of us, my grandma stayed there until we flew her back here later. 9 of us boarded an airplane and flew all the way. I remember landing in Seattle and then landing in New York. Now, that had to cost a lot of money. And when you're poor as dirt, when you have nothing, literally, I don't think my father had a nickel in his pocket when he landed in New York. How do we do that? Well, we did that because of the generosity of Christians. I found out many years later that a Christian organization literally paid our ways, bought all the tickets for all 9 of us to come. Why would they do something like that? Well, they would, because they're Christians. And Christians do a lot of things. A lot of things change in our lives when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. But one of the things that we do, one of the things that happens to our hearts is that we become really kind and caring people. So the Apostle Paul goes to the city of Corinth and he writes to them and he ministers there. Now, if you know anything about the kind of the landscape of the first century, you would know that Corinth is probably a wealthy city. You know that already. We talked some about it. But not only that, it's a Greek city. You know, there's probably a hierarchy of people back in those days. There's the Roman Empire. You're a Roman citizen, you're top, right? They rule everybody for a long, long time. And so underneath there are different ones. And the Greeks are also very intellectual, very whatever. And they are up there somewhere. So the Corinthian people were probably well-to-do, educated, et cetera, et cetera. Then there are the lower type of people. You go all the way, and guess what? The Jews in Jerusalem, in Palestine, in all those areas we know of today, they were probably pretty much low on the bottom of the totem pole. So poor people were abundant there, and poor people all the time, all through these years. But the Jewish people were very poor. So here, we're talking about a passage in which the Apostle Paul is writing to the richer Christians about caring for the lesser, poorer Christians. So there's something about that, and the Almighty God gave us this passage, these four verses to let us understand. Now, we understand the issue of tithing. We understand all these things that we talked about in the whole Bible. It talks about that, but this particular passage is not really talking about that at all only. It's really talking about caring for the poor. Now, if you study the Word of God, you will find that all throughout the Bible, starting in the Old Testament, you find that God really cares for the poor. He just does. You look at it, he chose a people. Who did he choose? He chose a bunch of slaves to be his chosen people. Remember that. Remember what happened, how the Jewish nation came to be. It started out with a little family that went to Egypt. And suddenly in Egypt it grew, and this nation became a nation, and that nation was enslaved by the Egyptians. And of all the people in the world that God would choose as his chosen people, he chose these slaves. It tells you a little bit about God's heart. And it goes on, and you can find all over the place in Leviticus, we have a verse that says, God really cares about the strangers and those who are just strangers among you. He really cares about that. One of my favorite verses, Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. You are talking about the heart of God who cares about the poor. You go on to the New Testament, you find that Jesus is all about that. He talks about that all over the place. You can find it in the Gospels. And not only that, of all people that he can become a person, the Son of God, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, he became a poor carpenter's child. Think about that. If you're a Jewish carpenter back in those days, you are amongst the poorest people. I know today, if you're a carpenter, you could do pretty well, especially right now in Houston, right? You're a carpenter, you have no power in getting a job right now. Not so in most of the years of earth, and certainly not in those days. If you're a Jewish carpenter, hand to mouth is about all you can hope for. And Jesus became a son of a carpenter. Why not a king? Why not a prince? Why not somebody in the royalty? No. God made that choice. And not only that, as you look through it, you will find again and again and again and again, there's a great connection between the poor and the heart of God. So what are we talking about here today? Today we're talking about offerings. We're talking about giving to those who are in need. We're talking about something that, you know, we struggle with as human beings because we have wealth and we want to keep our wealth. They say, you know, most of the people that are rich, they're probably rich because they didn't give it away. No, that's the world. That's not God. So today, we wanted to talk about biblical offerings. What does it entail? First of all, to whom? Who do we give this money to? Now, in America today, most of us probably have a little bit extra. I know a lot of times our bills are kind of overwhelming, but nevertheless, compared to the rest of the world, compared to people in the past, we probably have a little bit more than what they would have. This is living in America. That's why everybody wants to come to America. They can have this American dream. They can have something. We can go and buy something that we don't really need if we wanted to. But what does it mean, biblical offerings? For whom? It says very clear here, now concerning the collection for the saints. That's not to say you can't give to anybody else. Not saying that to you. You want to give to something that's not Christian and you really are moved by, fine, give it. A lot of people gave to Harvey Relief last year. A lot of us did. They don't have to be Christians necessarily. But here, Paul is talking about particularly the collection for Christians, for the saints. This is really important. Those who are, of us who are Christians, we have an obligation spiritually, emotionally, every which way to care for other Christians, other saints. So we are doing that. The collection is for that. And who would it be for? This is for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. There was a famine going on at the time. There were poor people everywhere, but particularly in Jerusalem, particularly in Israel. And this is a call for God's people to rise up to collect for them. It is a direction that the Apostle Paul not only gave to the people in Corinth, but also in Galatia, he mentions it. I directed the churches there. So you also, he's saying, people everywhere, we need to be caring for those who are in need in the family of God. Well, sometimes we don't look at that. I don't know how many times I've been told, you know why we have so many needs in America? Why do we have to look overseas or on and on? People say that all the time. I have relatives that say to me, they say, wow, you're always concerned about the orphans there. Well, there are orphans here too. Yeah. But you know what? God's people, we have a passion. We have a mandate, in fact. We have a pattern that we have received from the Almighty God to care for those who are outside of our nation, outside of our community that is a part of the family of God. And until we find people, get to a place where there are no Christians in needs anywhere in this world, we have to be a part of that. You know that's not going to happen until the Lord Jesus returns. We need to be a part of that. So this is the directive that the Apostle Paul, the Almighty God, through the Apostle Paul, gave to the church in Corinth. So I want to tell you, this is a directive for us. It is something that we need to be a part of. It doesn't mean we can solve the problems of the world. But you know what? We need to not only pray for them. Yes, we need to do that. Not only do we care about them and be concerned about them and talk about the needs of our brothers and sisters all over this world, but we need to be a part of that. So the collection for the saints, we need to be a part of that. And I'm so excited that, you know, our church is a very generous church. I was looking at the announcement today, and I was, wow, that is great. That's an amazing offering we took last week. We did. Look at it if you didn't see it. God's people here are generous. Now, that doesn't excuse you from, you know, not being, if you're not a part of it. Every single one of us has to be a part of that. And it talks about that the biblical offering is for whom? It's for God's people. We need to give so they can minister. We need to give to ministries that are out there. We need to give people so that they can have a means to survive if we find ways that they are not. We need to think about possibility. Now, we have to think about that and how we do it. In the Southern Baptists, we have a lot of patterns that we can do. We have our IMB missioners. We have an Annie Armstrong. We have, you know, all these missions work that we can give to. I encourage you to give to those. Find something that the Lord has given to your heart and put it there. And we'll talk about how in a moment. When do we do that? That's interesting that he says that. This is a pattern that we need to take. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper so that no collection be made when I come. Here, when do we do that? On the first day of every week. You know when that is? That's Sunday. The first day of every week is Sunday. This is when we worship. This is when the Church of Jesus Christ worship worldwide. We made that choice because of his resurrection. Because Jesus resurrected on Sunday, we are worshiping on Sundays. That doesn't mean you can't worship other times. There's all kinds of other times you can worship. But Sunday is the day. First day of the week. That's when we do it. We do it in church. You say, wait a minute. Nowadays, we don't all get paid like that, you know? Right, you can figure it out. But back in those days when, I guess, at the end of the day you get paid or the end of the week you get paid, whatever it is, this is what you do. You do that. This is when you do it. For whom? For God's people. We do that in the context of church. I taught a worship class in a seminary for many years. And sometimes we think of worship, we think about our music, right? Music is great. It's a great instrument of worship. When we have great music, you know, worshiping, singing the Lord, you know, you just feel just, you know, passionate for God. That is worship. But worship is not just that, because worship is an act. It isn't just a feeling. It isn't emotion alone. It's an act. There's all kinds of things that is part of worship. And one of the things that we do in worship is we give. It is that time when we worship the Lord and we say, Lord God, I hear you. I prayed it through. This is what I want to give. This is it right there. And you do it in church service. You say, can I give it other time? Sure you can. But make it a pattern to do so. Because this is the pattern that the Apostle Paul talks about here. On the first day of the week. In other words, it is done. And I want to tell you why this is important too at church. It is also something that you do as a pattern so that it is not emotional. I don't know if you've ever been to fundraisers. There's some places sometimes, you know, some people who can just get every penny out of your pocket. I mean, there are people that can just make you cry. Oh, take it all, take some more, take my shirt, take my coat, take everything, right? They're really good at it. And then afterward, you go home and say, I can't believe I gave him that. Because at the moment, your emotion is torn apart, you know? You're giving them. That's not what we should do. As God's people, we don't do that. That doesn't mean you can't give emotionally. Sure, you can if you want to, but that's not the only time. What you want to do is plan it. You want to say, Lord God, this is before you. It is my worship, my act of worship. This is what I am going to give. This is it right here. This is my $20. This is my $200. This is my $5,000. Whatever it is, you plan that so that it is not emotional. And not only that, it isn't just needed. We don't need emotional just dragging you out and ripping people off that way. So that people all around the world can be taken care of and the needs are there. So when? Some pattern of the church. I know there's people that give online. We encourage that you can, but you know, do it regularly. And then it goes on, and I'll spend a little more time here. How? And mention joyful giving. Well, there's a lot of ways of giving. I want to tell you that you do not want to give being compulsed, you know, you're forced to. I had a member in the church, not this one, and he made quite a bit of money, but it was different every month. So he would calculate, he would show me how. He would calculate exactly what it is, 10%. He didn't want to give a penny less, he didn't want to give a penny more. He just calculated. I thought, you know, somehow it just defeats the whole spirit of giving here. You can't even round it up a little bit. Do you have to go with the pennies too, you know? But that's what he did, because he felt like this is what I needed to do. It's interesting here that it doesn't talk about that. It doesn't talk about percentage here. Now, there are pastors and churches that debate the percent of tithing of 10%. That's not here. This is not what it's talking about. This is talking about giving to the needs of God's people in a generous way, and it is not about a percentage. And it says here, he says, each one of you put aside and save as many as he may prosper. What has God given to you? Somebody who gives $1,000, it's not the same as somebody else who gives $1,000. You remember that the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus himself, he was sitting there in a temple. You remember that, right? Watching people give. Now, I don't know what he was doing, just crowd watching there. Some people like to do that, not Jesus. He had a purpose for that. He saw these people give generously a lot. But then he saw this widow who gave her only last two little bit of coin, right? You remember that. And what did he say about her? I mean, those probably coins couldn't buy anything. But he says she gave more than all the. Of course she did. She gave 100%. 100% out of her poverty. Something that she could have saved. See, God is saying, the way we give is from the depths of our hearts. I still remember. And it's not because of something you get back. She gave. She didn't expect she was going to get anything back. But she gave. I remember the story of Hudson Taylor when he was a young missionary in China. And there's so many stories. I love reading stories of missionaries, particularly those kinds. And one particular time, he had just one, whatever it is, some kind of British coin in his pocket. That's all he had left. And somebody came in and needed it. He talks about how he struggled with it. He says, this is all I have. I am here so far away. It's not like they can wire him any money. Anytime they send money, it'll take months to come. There he is. He's got this little bit of money. What should he do? How can he give that away? He needs to take care of things. He needs to be responsible. He can't be like that. He can't be just like throwing everything away. He has to take care of things. But the Spirit of God worked in his heart so strong that he literally took it, a farthing or whatever it was called. He took it out and he gave it. You know, when you do that, when you give generously like that, I want to tell you what happens. When you, especially if you have to struggle with it. If you're struggling with whether I should give this or not. It is something that you want to do, but you're not sure you want to. You don't want to be, you know, so irresponsible with your stuff. And then you give it. Something happens. This is a freedom that comes into your heart. You are released from it. It's almost like something grips you. You know, money or possessions or whatever, it grips your heart. And then when you release it, you know, it just goes and it just frees you. And that's what happened to Hudson Taylor. Because the story goes on, I'm not sure, I can't remember the whole story, but I think the next day, something came, something wrapped up, and sure enough, in there, it was not only that in replacement, but many times. So that's what God does. Now, some people take that and say, yeah, you know, you give it to God, he'll give you many times more. That's not the issue here. Of course he will, but that's not the issue. I still remember a meeting I went to. I didn't want to go to it, but because of my people, they said, you don't know, you can't be condemning him, or you can't be saying bad things about him, and you never even seen him before. So we went to Manhattan, we went to one of those meetings, and we missed the first offering because we were 5 minutes late. I think they took 3 or 4 offerings that day. And one of the things that guy was saying, you know what, God is going to give you 1,000 times over. That's what the Bible says. It does not, okay? And so he says, here's $1. If you need $1, take it from me. I'll give you $1 right now. If you can't give it yourself, I'll give you $1. You put that in the offering plate, you're going to get 1,000 back. That's not what the scripture is talking about. When we give to the Lord, it is not about getting back. It is about trusting God and caring for others. And that is what Hudson Taylor did there. I want to tell you, you want to give like that. It says, on the first day of every week, again, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. You plan this out. You don't go with emotions. You come before the Lord and say, this is what I want to do to help my brothers and sisters in the Lord all around the world, whatever it may be. And he says, when I arrive, verse 3, well, whoever you may approve, I will send them with the letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. This is so important. You need to understand that is the pattern that God gives us to us. We make a difference in the lives of others. I want to tell you, had not for those Christians whom I do not know at all, who gave the money for my trip, my family's trip, I don't believe I will be a believer today. If I didn't come to America, I don't know what, you know, the plans of God, but I can tell you this. I came to America, and I met the Lord here. I heard the gospel here. I had a pastor that ministered to me and loved on me and cared about me and told me what it means to be saved. If that didn't happen, maybe I wouldn't be standing here at all. I wouldn't be anything. I don't know what I would be, but I want you to understand, because some caring, generous people did that for me. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The things that you and I do, we can't possibly know what God would do with it. But we know that God has called us to do that. The Apostle Paul told this church. And remember, this church may not be a real rich church. We don't know. Maybe they can say, you know what, we can barely pay our own bills. We don't know. But nevertheless, whoever we are, wherever we're from, this is something that we need to be a part of, because biblical offerings must happen. And he doesn't say, you know what, you should have a meeting here, a meeting. No, no. He's saying every single week we do that. We make sure that we are part of ministering in the name of the Lord to those brothers and sisters who have needs. Now, I can go on and stand here for the next 2 hours telling you all possibilities all over the place. But God will put it in your heart. Wherever it may be, somewhere, someplace, you can support these folks through the IMB missionaries. You can support them through ministries that we have, you know, all around. And God will give you a passion and burden for it. I have a passion for children. I have a passion for orphans. And so that's what we do. Barbara and I, we do that a lot. We send funds to the Philippines. We send funds to India. We send funds to Ukraine. We send funds to Russia. We send places, you know, in South America, whenever it comes up once in a while. There are people here that support Gracewood. You send funds caring for the children right here. There are people that care about, you know, in this church, that care about people that I don't even know of who they are. But you're doing it. But God knows. And the great thing about it is he will respond. I think it's really great that the Apostle Paul ends the chapter like this. And next week we'll finish 1 Corinthians in completion. But he ends it like this. Right after one of the most passionate chapters, right? Chapter 15. It is about resurrection. We spent 4 weeks on chapter 15. What an amazing thing. Right afterward, he brings us right into this. I can imagine the people reading this, you know, the pastor there in the city of Corinth reading this letter, talking about the resurrection and talking about how great it is. And suddenly it goes right into the giving. By that time, I think, people are saying, no problem, we're going to give whatever we have. We don't care because we're going to be resurrected. Jesus is resurrected. Why don't I care about other people? Of course I do. I think it's so important that we can talk about great spiritual things and great eternal things that God is going to do, but it comes right down to earth in the things that we can do now and today. I want to encourage you all to find a place, find a situation where you can invest, where you can give to the needs of brothers and sisters all over this world, wherever it may be. I am a big believer that God will put that passion in your heart. I'm also so excited that God can do that and will do that. And you can make a difference in the lives of so many. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the opportunities. You certainly don't need our money at all. But nevertheless, Lord God, you give to us so that we have the opportunity to give to others. Father, I pray that you will use our church, the people in it, committed believers in Jesus Christ, to make a difference in the lives of so many. Perhaps there's some child that doesn't even understand right now. But because of our giving, Lord God, their lives will be changed. Thank you so much.